reading from Galatians. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, and on their way they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
A couple of things to follow, and you can pick a theme. One might be, if you wait till you feel like it, it'll never get done. Another is, stop your whining and focus. And another might be a movement from hee-haw to yee-haw. Whatever, there's 3 points for the test. God seeks, God sends, and God saves. How many here ever lost your keys. Put up your hand if you ever look at that. Look at that. Isn't that nobody in the choir, but it's amazing. Yeah, how many times? It's a mess. Life as you know it, hope it, plan it, is done. It grinds to a halt, gone. Especially if your keys are somewhere at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean with one of those little tiles on them that tells you exactly where they are, you know. If you only had your cell phone to be able to find them, but of course the cell phone is locked in the car. So the humility begins. And a locksmith comes, and they can't open the trunk of the car because you have a car that you can't get into with pushing a button anywhere on the inside. You have to rip out the back seat. And someone smaller than you, more intelligent than you, married to you, has to crawl in through the back seat. And we all have stories of losing and whining keys. It's amazing when spending the $10,000 or whatever I remembered it cost to replace everything. In the different dealerships, people describe, yes, well, I lost my keys at the bottom of the marsh outside of Isle of Palms. I lost my keys. One fellow, he said, I lost my keys in my wife's purse. I was going through the that's one. But the next step was, and she is now on her way to Hilton Head. He was driving through, taking a company car through Chick-fil-A drive-thru, ordered and got to the window, of course, and he didn't have any money. His wallet, his keys, everything was on its way to Hilton Head. Someone else who worked at UPS discovered as the truck was leaving, his keys were in one of the boxes on its way down Interstate 26 somewhere. Shame, embarrassment, life as you know it stops. This was going on with Elijah. Now, we don't know all of that from the text. I have no idea why the people who put lectionaries together started here, because this real text here in 1 Kings 19 begins in 18, where Elijah has just won the Super Bowl of prayer. If you can ever get that on DVD, it's a great thing. He has prayed, one guy praying against thousands of priests to Baal to burn an offering. And, of course, Elijah wins, and the folks in Israel, Ahab and Jezebel, they're embarrassed, and they seek to kill him, and he runs away. So that starts chapter 19. Elijah runs away, and here's his first whine. He hides under a tree, a broom tree, and he said, Lord, take my life. It's over now. And God's first sigh is, get over to this cave, and I'll have the angels prepare you a buffet. It's like a golden corral out here in the wilderness. There's a great buffet. And Elijah eats, and he's happy, but he stays there moaning. And God says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And here is next whine. I alone am left. They are seeking my life to take it away. They have neglected your prophets. They have killed your people. And God says, move on, go. And so Elijah goes to a mountain and stays on the mountain, waiting for some great appearance of God in a great whirlwind, in an earthquake, in fire. And he's standing and waiting, and he hears nothing. And God says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah says, I only am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. And you don't read it in the text, but you can just hear God, jeez. This begins the lesson for today. So all of this whining and God seeking leads to our text today. Some of you used to watch Hee Haw. Some of you really old folks in here. One of you, I see. You know Hee Haw and you know the song, right? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah. Deep, dark depression. Abject misery. If it weren't for hard luck, I'd have no luck at all. I searched the world over. Thought I'd found true love and what? You met another and you were gone. That's the whining that sets up today's text. But God seeks in the midst of whining and lost keys and lost hope and lost health and lost relationships. God seeks and finds and then sends. He doesn't say, there, Elijah, that'll be okay. Remember that buffet we had back there in the cave? We'll make it. He says, go right back where you came from. And oh yeah, on the way, anoint a couple of kings. And you don't get this, but he says, it's like God says, okay, I'm tired of you, Elijah. Here, anoint your successor. So on his way back, he anoints the person, throws his coat over him, which is a sign of like ordination, that Elisha is his successor. So God is like saying, your time here is up, Elijah. Here's somebody else to take your place. God sends. God doesn't wait for us to feel like it, to feel better, to feel like moving forward. God sends anyway. But even better than that, God saves. God saves. That's the yeehaw. You think of the whining. Look at the gospel lesson for just a second. This is really cool. You have Jesus going to Jerusalem with his disciples for a pilgrimage. And the disciples are sent ahead on a pilgrimage. They usually sent ahead to make reservations in the hotel or to make reservations with people on the way. And they were going through Samaria. And so a couple of the disciples found that nobody wanted a Jew. You know, Samaritans and Jews never got along very well. Nobody wanted Jews to stay there. And so Jesus set his face ready to go resolutely to Jerusalem. And the disciples whine. We can't get a place to stay. Why, Lord, hey, you're the Messiah. How would you like us to call down fire from heaven and consume them? That'd be cool. And Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. We whine, and God seeks, and God sends anyway. And God saves. There's nothing that traps like a sealed tomb. There's nothing that laments and moans like a lament from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And there's nothing that saves like a resurrection. Yeehaw! That's pretty good news. Amen.